Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning on this Sunday, this Transfiguration Sunday, as we gather to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just have a couple of announcements to remind you. This coming Wednesday will be Ash Wednesday. Again, we will be here. We won't have an Ash Wednesday service, but if you want ashes imposed on your foreheads, please come between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., and we will indeed do that. We will have ashes imposed upon your heads. I will be available to do that. And so, again, the time is from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Ash Wednesday. We'll also be meeting again at 6:30 for Bible study. So if you want to participate in Bible study, as well as have an opportunity to have the ashes imposed, you can be there at that time. Would love to have you there in Bible study. We'll be looking at a new book and for our Bible study for the Lenten season. We'll be reading together Walter Brueggemann's book, The Chosen, which is one that I think is relevant during this season of war and conflict in the Middle East, especially, and all of the religious implications that sometimes swirl around those events. So if you're interested, again, we'll be there at 6:30 on Wednesday for our Wednesday evening Bible study. There are other things, of course, going on at Albany Presbyterian Church. We invite you to please read your bulletin carefully, as well as go to our webpage and our Facebook page to stay abreast of all that is going on here at Albany Presbyterian Church, especially as the season of Lent gets underway. Well, just one more thing, just one more announcement. Just want to thank Haiju Kim for sharing her musical talents with us this morning as Marjorie continues to recover from the procedure she had done. So thank you, Haiju, very much. What do you do when you don't know what to do? That's a question, a good question this morning, a question that Peter has a good answer for in our gospel lesson that was just read. This is the Transfiguration Sunday, and on this Sunday, Jesus takes three of his most trusted disciples with him to a high mountain, and suddenly Jesus begins to change. He becomes transfigured, his clothes become dazzlingly white, his face begins to radiate and shine, and two giants from Israel's past come to be with him. And Peter is so overcome by it all, so overwhelmed by events that he doesn't know quite what to say or quite what to do. And often when you don't know what to do, you do what you know. You revert to what you have always done. And that's what Peter wants to do. Peter wants to worship because that's what Peter knows. That's the idea behind wanting to build the three booths. In the ancient world, whenever you encounter the divine, you often build a booth or a tent, not just to commemorate the spot, but as an act of worship and devotion. And so Peter is so overwhelmed by what he has just experienced, that's what he wants to do. Let's worship, he says. Lord, should we worship? Let's build three booths. Let's worship. I commend Peter for that. Worship is always a good idea when you don't know what to do. Several years ago, during the horrible events of 9/11, I remember coming to the church that Tuesday evening for the after-school program, only to find that the sanctuary was packed to capacity. Many people were overwhelmed by the day's events and didn't know what to do, because as Americans, we'd never experienced anything like that before. And so they came to church, came to worship. The place was packed. 600-seat sanctuary was packed to capacity. But it was highly commendable that people came to worship. I would always encourage people to come to worship, especially when you don't know what to do. But sometimes when you don't know what to do, not even worship is enough. Sometimes when you don't know what to do, the best thing to do is just to listen. And that's what the divine voice says in our text this morning. It says, listen. Listen to him. The Transfiguration, of course, is the second major epiphany in Mark's gospel. This is the end of the season of Epiphany, and this is the second great epiphany in Mark's gospel. The first, of course, happened during Jesus' baptism when the skies opened up and we were told that the divine voice said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But now here we are several chapters over, and again the divine voice speaks, "This is my beloved Son," but this time it says, "Listen. Listen to him." Let's face it, listening is quite difficult for us, even though we have two ears. Jesus said that of the people of his day, they have eyes but they can't see, and ears but they cannot hear. They don't hear because they don't listen. And isn't that true of many of us as well? Especially many of us Americans. Many of us Americans have trouble listening because we're loud. We're preoccupied with being busy, preoccupied with activity and loudness. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed how busy we Americans try to pretend that we are, how we have to be active, how we have to be loud? We like to drive down the road with our music blasting. We like business and activity. We like noise and noise and noise. I was in Starbucks the other day. I like to go there sometimes to read, but I couldn't do that because they had the Muzak cranked all the way up. It was constant noise. I think it's because of fear. We are afraid of being alone, afraid of being still, afraid of the silence. We are afraid of those things because they might just force us to have to listen to what might be going on deep inside of us, to listen to what might be stirring in our souls. But the word of the Lord this morning is listen. Listen to him. Of course, it's not just listening to ourselves that we don't like to do. We also find it difficult to listen to each other. We become quite good at talking over each other or talking around each other or talking about each other. It's much easier for us to talk than it is to listen. We preachers, of course, are guilty of this. As a rule, preachers are people who love to talk. We get paid to talk. We think that's what people expect of us is talk and more talk. People expect us to say something. And talking can be quite beneficial. Talking can be quite soothing. Talking can be quite comforting. But a lot of times what people need most from us is not more talk, but they need us to listen. To really listen to them, to listen what they're going through. You can learn things when you listen. You can learn from people you might disagree with. You can learn from people you might not like. You can learn from people you might not respect. You can learn from people you might not expect a whole lot out of. If we just listen, we can learn. But oftentimes we are preoccupied with trying to bolster our egos. We are preoccupied by trying to dominate the conversation, and so we don't listen. But the word of the Lord this morning is to listen. Listen to him. Of course, it's one thing to listen to ourselves and to listen to each other. But what we are told in our text this morning is that we are to listen to him. We are to listen to Jesus. Listen to him. That's what the divine voice says. Listen to Jesus. I'm always fascinated by the fact that even Jesus had problems trying to get people to listen to him. Not just those who had set themselves in opposition to him. Of course, there were people who didn't listen to Jesus from the get-go. The Pharisees, many of them didn't listen. The Sadducees didn't listen. Many of them, they were the religious leaders, and they had problems with Jesus, but they didn't listen. But it wasn't just them. It was also his disciples. Jesus had problems with his disciples, his followers, listening to what he was saying. After all, that's who the divine voice is addressing this morning. It's addressing the Lord's followers. It's addressing Peter and James and John. It's addressing you and me and all of us who've gotten up this morning to come into a place like this to worship in the midst of a world where we are often uncertain, where we are often confused, where we are often overwhelmed, where we often don't know what to do, and the voice says, listen. Listen to Jesus. I would have thought that the divine voice would have said, look at him. Look at him. Look at Jesus this morning. Look at Jesus above the mountaintop. Look at his glory. Look at his splendor. Look at the dazzling radiance of his face and clothes. Look at the brilliant cloud that has surrounded everything. Look at Moses and Elijah. Look at all of this. Look at all the wonderful special effects that attest to his glory. Look at him. But no, it's not what the text says. It says, listen. Listen to him. Listen to what he's trying to tell you. Of course, the main thing that the divine voice wants us to listen to Jesus about is Jesus' redefinition of glory. Jesus' redefinition of what it means to shine in the passage right before the one that we just read. Jesus is at Caesarea Philippi, and he has already asked his disciples what people are saying about him. And the people believe, according to Jesus' disciples, that he's a great prophet. And then Jesus asked him, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ. You're the king. You're the leader. You're the one that everybody's waiting for. You're the one we're called to follow. And then Jesus begins to explain what that will mean. The Son of Man must suffer and die and be handed over. Yes, he's going to be raised again on the third day. But his disciples can't hear any of that. And then Jesus says, this is not just about me, it's also about you. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a person to gain the whole world and lose his soul? His life. But his disciples can't hear that. They don't listen. They are preoccupied with who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. They can't hear because they refuse to listen to what Jesus is telling them. And sometimes we refuse to listen as well. The Apostle Paul in our epistle reading said that some people are perishing because they can't hear the gospel. The gospel is veiled to them. And when he says it's veiled, I think that what he means is that God isn't intentionally trying to hide it from them. It's just that they refuse to listen. They won't listen to what the gospel that Jesus is sharing with them is all about. And what it is a redefinition of glory. Jesus is trying to tell them the glory is not about calling attention to ourselves. It's not about trying to outshine or outdazzle anyone. It's not about trying to reach the highest rung on the ladder or reach the peak of the summit in order to look down on everyone else. But true glory is about walking in the way of the cross. It's about walking in the light of God's truth, the truth of God's love for all of us, and the truth of God's love for the whole world. That's what Jesus wants his disciples to hear. But they won't listen. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. And I can think of no better Sunday for us to listen to Jesus this morning. By the time the day is over, one of the Super Bowl teams will emerge at the pinnacle of NFL glory. One team will have all the glory, all the dazzle, all the light. One team will shine. The quarterbacks will shine. They'll be at the pinnacle of glory. I'm pretty sure that team will be the Kansas City Chiefs. You might, maybe not, maybe it will be San Francisco, but I'm pretty sure it'll be the Chiefs. But they will shine. They'll be at the pinnacle of glory. And I know this morning that it's just a game, but we all know that it's more than that. The Super Bowl is more than just a game. The Super Bowl is about the values that define our world, values of winning, values of dominating, values of controlling, values of outshining the competition. That's why we pay attention to it. That's why football stars are some of the biggest stars and some of the biggest heroes in our society. Because they perfectly represent the values of the world. But you and I are called to walk by a different set of values. We are called to walk in the way of the cross. I was reading something the other day about the Doctors Without Borders. It's really an organization that I've come to admire a lot. I admire doctors and medical staff immensely. If I were a little smarter and a little less squeamish, I might have been a medical professional of some kind, a doctor or a nurse maybe. But I was watching something about Doctors Without Borders, and they were highlighting this young woman, this young doctor. She looked like a kid to me. I mean, she didn't, you know, look much past 22, but everybody looks like a kid to me these days. But this young woman, a young doctor, she was there in Gaza, a medical doctor there in Gaza, and she had come into Gaza and she was treating children, helping to deliver babies, helping to bind up and treat wounds. Really a special person. And as I was watching her do some of the work that she was doing, I couldn't help but thinking, man, if she was here in the United States, she would be living a very comfortable life. A doctor. If she was here in the United States, she probably wouldn't have anything to worry about. Her profession would afford her a certain degree of status. Her profession would afford her a certain lifestyle. She could live quite comfortably. But here she was in Gaza, in the midst of all the carnage and devastation and want. Not to mention the threats and the dangers to her own life in the midst of all the bombing and the war that was going on there. And yet there she was. And she wasn't calling attention to herself. She wasn't saying, look how great I am. Look how wonderful I am. Look at all the wonderful things that I'm doing. Nope, she was just making herself available at the intersection of where God's love meets the pain of the world. And Jesus is saying that this is what glory looks like. This is what greatness looks like. This is what it means to shine. If you're a young person today, or even if you are an old person like me and you don't know what to do, you don't know what to do with your life, listen to Jesus. Listen to him. Listen to what he's trying to tell us. Listen to what his definition of what it really means to live, what it really means to have glory. Don't be so inured by the values of the Super Bowl, by Super Bowl values, that you forget what true glory looks like. What good is it if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Listen to him. Listen to the voice of love. Listen to the voice of giving. Listen to the voice of true reason. Listen to the voice of God in our midst. Listen to him. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we acknowledge this morning that it's so hard for us to listen, so hard for us to hear. It's easy for us to even turn your word into a mechanism of getting and wanting and dominating and controlling. But you have said among us a powerful light. You have set among us the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to which our lives and the whole world is to be illumined. Help us to hear his voice as he makes his way to the cross. And help us to acknowledge what the centurion said on the last great epiphany in Mark's gospel, as our Lord is hanging on the cross. Your great love and his great love made manifest for all of us, that truly this is the Son of God. Listen to him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.